Good morning. I know many of you, some of you are thinking, who is that fuzzy guy? What did he do with Keith and Sarah? My name is Kevin Germer, and I'm the pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church, and it's so good to be with you this morning. I love worshiping with you all, and Christ Pres sends their greetings as well. It's been a real joy over the past 2 or 3 years now, partnering with you all in different ways for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom coming here in Richmond. And so we look forward to seeing how that relationship continues and progresses. We've been doing this series together in Proverbs, and we'll read some selected Proverbs. But before we do that, let me pray for us. Father, we give you thanks for your word. Thanks for being a God who speaks, who wants to be known. We thank you for the truth of your word. I'm reminded standing in this big pulpit that this has nothing to do with the importance of preachers, but the importance of your word, the infinite importance of your word. So we thank you for it, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and give us ears to hear you, give us eyes to see Jesus, give us a willingness to receive him. We ask it in his name. Amen. So I'll be reading from selected Proverbs, and I think they'll be printed up here. Hear the word of God. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find? Seldom set your foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and they will hate you. It is funny. By the way, in Hebrew, the word neighbor is the same word as friend, so you could substitute that for friend. Rarely set your foot in a friend's house. Too much of you, and he will hate you. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family, and do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor, better a friend nearby than a relative far away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we're going to look at this. Friendship, that's the theme, if you didn't pick up on it. Friendship is the theme that we're looking at this morning. And let's see what these verses have to tell us about why we need a true friend, and then what it means to be a true friend, what a true friend is, and then how we can be a true friend, how we can be a good, true friend to others. According to Proverbs, friendship is a really big deal. Listen again to the first couple of verses we read. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. These verses are showing us that there's something totally unique about the love of a friend. What is it? Well, think about this. Why does your family stick with you? They stick with you because they have to. Because they're your family. I mean, the reality is, your family will stick with you, and they might not even like you. But still, they're going to stick with you just because they're your family. Now, I'm sure all of your families like you a whole lot. But it's possible that a family would just be there for you just because they're your family. A friend, though, is chosen. Or a friend is someone who has chosen you. A friend is someone who will be there for you. Not because they have to be there for you, but because they want to be there for you. Proverbs says there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that word sticks is a word in the Old Testament that often gets translated as cleave. Cleave. It's a word that means holding fast to someone out of this deep love and steadfast commitment to them. Cleave. You see, friends don't stick with you because they're stuck with you. Friends stick with you because they love you. Proverbs shows us that our lives are shaped to a great degree by the quality and the depth of the friendships we form. Our friends will either help us down the path of wisdom, or they'll help us down the path of foolishness. Friendship will be for us either a school of virtue, or it will be for us a school of vice. And as you reflect on your own life, you can probably think of friends you have now, in different seasons of life, and you can think, yeah, there are ways that my friends have shaped me in really good ways, and there are also times where my friendships have shaped me in bad ways, in negative ways. Either way, our friendships are going to have this deep, lasting impact on the course of our lives. And so one of the things Proverbs shows us is that if we want to be people of wisdom, if we want to be people who go through life wisely, we must have good friends. We must know how to form good friendships. We must be good friends to others. Now, one of the reasons this might sound strange or foreign, or maybe one of the reasons that we might not think about friendship so much, is that friendship is undervalued in our culture today. It's really undervalued. I recently read a wonderful little book called Spiritual Friendship by Wesley Hill, and in it he highlights several threats that we experience today against friendship, threats that friendship experiences, and I'll share just one of them. Hill calls it the myth of the ultimate significance of marriage and the nuclear family. This is the threat to friendship. The myth of the ultimate significance of marriage and the nuclear family. These relationships of marriage and the nuclear family, which are like incredibly important relationships, right? They've been elevated to such a high level that friendship is very often pressed to the margins of our life, or sometimes pressed out of the picture altogether. See, on the one hand, secular culture tends to emphasize what kind of relationship? Like the romantic relationship, the erotic relationship. Think about the magazine covers like in the grocery store. Just right there by the checkout aisle. When's the last time that you saw one of those magazine covers like highlighting and celebrating just friendship between two guys? Deep, intimate friendship between two men. You never see that, do you? What do you see? You see like a woman wearing a swimsuit. These magazines are meant to make us think romantic love, erotic love, not friendship. Think about the music that you listen to. If you have an iTunes playlist, do any of you have an iTunes playlist? Some of you might. You probably have one or two, three or four love songs in your music collection, but how many songs do you have that are celebrating and praising kind of the life-shaping potential of a deep, meaningful friendship? Have there been songs written about deep, meaningful friendships? We have this being emphasized by our secular culture, the romantic love, the erotic love. And then on the other hand, religious conservative culture tends to emphasize family relationships. Like the most important thing, the one thing that we must tend to, is keeping the nuclear family intact, preserving the nuclear family. Which, by the way, is really hard to square with Jesus' teaching about the family. Or with Paul's teaching about marriage. Better to stay single than to get married. Jesus says, "Who are my brothers and sisters? Whoever does the will of God." But that's a different sermon. The point is, in our culture, friendship is way undervalued. And as a result, these relationships tend to get squeezed out. We think, yeah, we'll get around to friendship after we're taking care of our marriage, after we're taking care of our families, after work. Like usually friendship is the last thing on our minds. It gets put on the back burner. And yet Proverbs insists we need friendships in order to live well. In order to navigate life with wisdom, we must have good friends. So what is friendship? What is it exactly that we need? What does it mean to be a true friend? Well, I think it's fair to say that Facebook has really distorted our understanding of what it means to be a friend. You all know this, but I'll say it anyway. To have 500 friends or to have, you know, 1,000 friends, some of you probably have more than 1,000 friends on Facebook. Some of you are thinking, what is Facebook? Well, it's on the internet. But to have 500 friends on Facebook is not to have 500 friends. If anything, the more friends we have, the less likely we are to experience real, meaningful friendship. Proverbs suggests this. It suggests that it's easy to have a whole lot of acquaintances, a whole lot of companions even, but that true friendship is this really rare thing. Many claim to have unfailing love, Proverbs says, but a faithful person, a true person, who can find? So what is it? What is true friendship? Derek Kidner wrote a little commentary on Proverbs, and he highlights several characteristics of a true friend that we see in Proverbs. The first is constancy. A true friend is constant. Proverbs has a lot to say about fair weather friends. For example, in Proverbs 19:6, we read that everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. Everyone is a friend of a man who gives gifts. Everyone loves the guy who gives gifts, but are they loving him? Or are they just loving what he's giving? The reality is that most of the people in our lives relate to us in one way or another because we're useful to them. And that's how we so often relate to others, because they're useful to us, because sometimes they're useful for advice, sometimes they're useful for a good time, sometimes they're useful for money. But we often pursue relationships based on their utility. Here's what I can get out of it. And when the relationships are no longer useful, well, we either drift apart, or sometimes we just call it quits and walk away altogether. But Proverbs tells us that a true friend loves at all times. A true friend loves at all times. Proverbs urges us, do not forsake your friend. No matter what happens, no matter what sickness or personal tragedy or personal failure occurs, a friend is someone who has chosen to be there with you and who has chosen to be there for you. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A true friend sticks with you not because it's convenient, not because of what you can offer him or her, but because the friend loves you. A friend says, I am sticking with you no matter what. I'm staying, not going anywhere. I'm with you. So, constancy. A true friend is going to be there for you. The second characteristic is care. A true friend shows care. Listen again to these verses. Here's the funny one. Seldom set your foot in your friend's house or your neighbor's house. Too much of you and he will hate you. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. Now, what are those verses showing us? A true friend, what they're showing us is that a true friend understands us. A true friend really knows us. A true friend knows where our boundaries are and knows us well enough to know when those boundaries ought to just be respected and when those boundaries ought to be stretched and pushed. A true friend knows our emotional state. A true friend is in tune with our hearts. A true friend meets us where we are and knows how to empathize with us. A true friend just knows the kind of person we are. And so, for example, if you're my true friend, you're going to know that I need time by myself. I'm not a raging extrovert. I barely even like people. Like, I need time just away from people, where I can just be in a nice room with, like, low lighting, reading. True friend will know that about me. And your true friends will know what kind of person you are. But these verses are describing someone who is out of touch with his friend, emotionally disconnected from his friend. And because he does not have an emotional connection with his friend, he cannot care for his friend in the way his friend needs. He keeps coming over and coming over and coming over when his friend just wants to be left alone. Or he's singing songs of joy and celebration when his friend is heartbroken. A real friend knows you and deeply cares for you. And so a real friend can't sing songs when you're sad, because he's just not able to sing songs when you're sad. He's not able to be happy if you're not happy. When your heart is heavy, his heart is heavy too. Paul tells us this in Romans 12:15, weep with those who weep. Weep with those who weep. Mourn with those who mourn. And that's what friends are able to do. They're able to come alongside you and to weep when you're weeping and mourn when you're mourning. Which helps us to see that while we can have a lot of acquaintances, we can have a lot of companions, our lives can be packed full of people, it's really not possible to have a lot of true friends. Imagine trying to enter into the suffering of that many people. Imagine trying to really empathize with and really know that many people. Think of all the people in your Facebook friend, and then think of what it would mean to really weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn. See, you just can't do it with that many people. You can do it with a handful of people, maybe do it well with a handful of people. But a true friend really cares. A true friend takes on your burdens as his own. And then also, a third characteristic, a true friend is able to give you counsel. Listen again to these verses. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. See, a true friend knows who you are and knows what you're going through, so they know your life really well, and then they care enough about you to speak into your life, to give you counsel. Now, often that counsel will be encouraging and uplifting. Sometimes the counsel might be challenging. It might be corrective. Sometimes the counsel might be painful to hear. And that's okay. And we need to be okay with that. Proverbs says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Proverbs says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. So often we think, if I really care for this person, if I really love this person, well, then I'm never going to say anything that might hurt them. I'm never going to say anything hard. I'm not going to say things that they might not want to hear. And Proverbs says that when we do that, we might as well be the person's enemy, not their friend. We didn't read this proverb, but chapter 29, verse 5 says, a man who flatters his friend spreads a net for his feet. See, when we don't tell our friends the truth, when all they're ever hearing from us is the good, the positive, how wonderful they are, how great their lives are, how everything in their life is going well, but they never hear us pointing out how we can see ways that their lives have actually lost touch with reality, how they're moving in a way it's the way of the fool, it's not the way of the wise. If we're never willing to speak that into our friend's life, well, we're acting more as an enemy than as a friend. Here's how one of the old commentaries puts it. The hidden love that does not dare to risk wounds from a friend and spares rebuke rather than inflict pain, judged by God's standard, is hatred. If you'd rather hide the love, spare the rebuke, than inflict any kind of pain, you're actually hating your friend. It's not loving to withhold challenge and correction. It's like we're setting our friends up for failure when we do that. And so being a true friend means being willing to offer counsel, and we can reverse that, and we can say being a true friend means being willing to receive counsel. It means being willing to receive the hard word from our friends and not getting so upset that we say, I can't be your friend anymore because you've actually wounded me with these words. No, some wounds are good wounds. Some wounds are really good wounds. So where does that leave us with friendship? A friend is constant. A friend is caring. A friend offers counsel. How can we be friends like this? How can we live into this vision of friendship that Proverbs gives us? A friend sticks with you not because they're stuck with you, but because they love you. Friends know you well enough to give you care and counsel that you need. And isn't that what you really want? mean, that's what I want. I want people in my life who know me really well and who still love me and who still are willing to speak the words of encouragement, but also the words of challenge and correction into my life. I want people in my life who I know I can count on, who aren't going anywhere. Maybe you're thinking, I wish I had friends like this. But so often we don't. I mean, so often we live lives of isolation and loneliness, and we are in desperate need of real, true friendship. I mean, you might have hundreds of Facebook friends. Your life might be crammed full with other people, acquaintances, people who find you useful, people whom you find useful. And yet you can be extremely lonely, isolated, and in need of a friend. Do you have anyone you can share the deep sorrows of your heart with? That's the question. Other than your spouse, if you're married, do you have a friend? I mean, even the good friends we have can't always be there for us. Sometimes they move, sometimes we move, sometimes their lives are just too busy. Have you ever heard that? I'm just too busy. Sometimes we've told that to others, haven't we? Just too busy. Sometimes we don't live into this vision of friendship because we're lazy about friendship. Just lazy. We're selfish. We don't want to love other people the way God's calling us to love them. And so part of what Proverbs is doing is awakening us to a longing for deep, meaningful friendship. We can't live wisely without it. And hopefully we want our friendships to be better. Hopefully we want our friendships to grow into this vision that Proverbs gives us. But also, maybe we're realizing that one of the reasons that we don't have these kinds of friendships is that we have failed to offer this kind of friendship to others. We don't have the friendships we want because we haven't been the kind of friends that we ought to be. I mean, how good are you at being a friend who is constant, who is there no matter what, who is there through the ups and also through the downs? How available are you to your friends? How consistent are you with them? Do the joys and sorrows of your friends really affect you? Or do you just kind of let them bounce off? You say, I have enough of my own worries to deal with. I can't take this on. I can't bear this burden. You see, one of the reasons we lack true friends is that we have not been true friends ourselves. And so what do we do? How can we be better friends? Who can help us in this area of friendship? There's truth in the advice, if you want a friend, be a friend. Have you heard that advice before? If you want a friend, be a friend. That's true, but it's only part of the truth, because in order to be a friend, I think we need a friend. If we want to be, to really be a true friend, this Proverbs kind of friend, this wise kind of friend, then first we need a friend. Like, we need a wise friend who will come alongside us and show us the way of wise friendship. And what the Christian tradition has always affirmed is that we get this kind of wise friend in the gospel. Here's how one of the old commentaries puts it. There is one friend who loves at all times, a brother born for adversity, the help of the helpless, the hope of the hopeless, the strength of the weak, the riches of the poor, the peace of the disquieted, the companion of the desolate, the friend of the friendless. See, it's like this isn't just a wise friend, but this is wisdom himself. This is wisdom incarnate. This is Jesus, the true friend. It's a little mind-blowing to think that the God who spoke the moon and the stars and the sun into existence desires friendship with you and me. But that's what Scripture says is true, that like this infinitely large, holy, transcendent God wants to know you and be known by you, and wants to love you and be loved by you, and wants not just to be like your king or your father or your Lord or your shepherd, or run through the whole list of metaphors that the Bible gives us for talking about God, but wants to be your friend. In fact, there's a way of reading the whole Bible along these lines. Think about the story that the Bible gives us. In the beginning, God creates the world, and he embraces us as his friends. God walks with Adam and Eve in the garden. What does that sound like? That sounds like something a friend would do. Let's go on a walk together. Let's spend time sharing with each other, getting to know each other. So God is inviting friendship with humanity. But then we reject the friendship of God. We stop trusting his friendship. We stop trusting his love. We reject his grace. We move out apart from him. We say, we don't want to hear your counsel. We don't want to receive it. We don't want your care. We can take care of ourselves. You might be constant, but we aren't. We're out of here. And then the rest of the story is about God pursuing us and pursuing friendship with us. And over and over again, us turning God away and saying, I want a surface level friendship, but I don't want a really life-shaping friendship with you. And so what does God do? Does God do what you and I might do? Say, fine, you don't want to be my friend, I don't want to be your friend either. I've done that. I've gotten to a point where I've just thrown in the towel on friendships. I've said enough. You don't want to be my friend, I don't want to be your friend either. But God doesn't do that. God comes to us in the person of Jesus, and then he pursues us as Jesus. And what is he pursuing? He's pursuing friendship with us. I mean, Jesus is the one who in John's gospel says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And then he says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. See, Jesus is the ultimate friend. He's the ultimate picture of counsel. He's always telling us what we need to hear. I mean, broadly, he's telling us two things that we need to hear over and over again. We need to be reminded of these truths that on one hand, we are sinners who are lost and desperate without the grace of God. But on the other hand, we are sinners who are deeply loved by the triune God of grace. We're sinners, but we're loved sinners. Like, we need to hear both of those again and again, and Jesus will remind us of that again and again. He shows us that we haven't really been good friends, but that he also shows us that in him we have the best possible friend. He's the ultimate picture of care. He takes our burdens as his own, right? That's what Scripture says. He does not leave us to die in our sin, but he actually somehow, in some mysterious way, like, moves into our sinfulness, takes our sin upon himself, bears it for us, and then bears it away from us as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? I don't know. I mean, I think that must be saying infinitely far. Like, that's how far your sin has been removed from you because of Jesus. He bears our burdens for us. And then he's the ultimate picture of constancy. Not only was Jesus during his life profoundly misunderstood by all of his friends, but he was betrayed by one of his friends. He was denied by Peter 3 times. And then at the end, he was abandoned by every single one of his friends, even his closest friends. None of them were there at the end. But Jesus was there. Jesus stayed. He stayed. He said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm sticking with you. And I'm sticking with you not because I'm stuck with you. I'm sticking with you because I love you. Do you want to be a true friend? Do you want to be this kind of true friend for others? Like a friend who really is constant and who cares and who can offer wise counsel, well, then you need this friend. You need this Jesus. You need this one who doesn't stick because he's stuck, but he sticks because he loves. Can you see the goodness of that? Can you see the goodness of this gift that we have in the gospel, this goodness, the goodness of this friendship that God offers us? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the friend of sinners. Thank you that you are constantly pursuing friendship with us, and we pray that you would open us to that reality, reality of friendship with you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that as we experience friendship with you, that you would equip us and prepare us to be true friends for others. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.